Good night, everybody.
Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord? Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Amen. It seems as though we were working hard today, for we are looking tired. Nonetheless, God has a blessing for you this evening. So I pray that each one of us will leave here blessed and renewed to go on for a brand new week. Amen. Let us continue just before we go into our message for this evening. In verse 2 of the song 499, hymn 499. Song, the first verse we are going to sing. The remaining verses. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We'll sit and sing. Have we trials and temptation? Very meditatively. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful?
Jesus knows every weakness.
Jesus knows every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Are we weak and heavy laden?
Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, but with a load of care. Precious Savior, still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friend despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer.
In his arms he'll
take and share.
Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. This evening, passage of scripture for meditation from the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. It was read earlier, but I just want to read it in your hearing once more. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, again, we are thankful for your many blessings throughout this day. We thank you once again, Father, that you have given us to give you praise and to give you glory. We thank you again for the bread of life. And even now, Lord, we pray that you will search us again and see if there be any evil or wicked ways in us. Wash us anew, and may the blood of Jesus make us whole. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our short discourse this evening, I've chosen to give the topic to this message, Even a Little Can Hurt. Even a little can hurt. In your life, have you ever noticed that for some reason, some opportunities would only knock at your door just once? But temptation seems to keep banging away until somehow we decide to open that door. It's always there waiting to entice us. And unless we are constantly on our guard, a sin would overtake us. We always have to be on guard so that we don't accept any a sin, even a little of it. And so tonight I want to talk to you about something that I believe that we need to talk about a lot more in church. Temptation. Being on the alert to see temptations. Have you ever been tempted? Let me see the hands of those who have ever been tempted. I'm asking for a show of hand. I'm still waiting. Have you ever been tempted? All right. So everyone, which means whatever I'm going to speak this evening, all of us are acquainted with it. And I pray that God would help us to overcome temptation. All of us need to be watchful for temptation. But somehow in today's world, I would think that our young men and women need to be even extra cautious. I recently heard a story that was aimed primarily at teens, and I want to repeat the story this evening. And I want us to listen very attentively so you'll get the meaning of the story. So there was this man who had two sons. And one day they came to their father and asked if they could go to the movies and look at an R-rated movie. And being the wise father he was, he said to them, sons, I cannot allow you to go and look at this movie. And so they speak to him and they try to convince him to allow them to go to the movies. And so they told their father, Dad, all of our friends are going to watch this movie. Why can't we go? It wouldn't do any harm to us. A matter of fact, Dad, in this movie, there's only just this one little section that has something that is R-rated. And so the father told them again, they cannot go and see the movie, and they should go to their room. A few minutes later, the father was in the kitchen. And as he was in the kitchen, he was cooking up, he was baking some brownies. And the sons could have smelled the aroma coming from the kitchen. And so they thought to themselves, okay, Dad must feel guilty that he had told us not to go to the movies, and so he's making some brownies to apologize. And so their father came through the kitchen door into the living room where the sons were. And he said to them, here are some nice goodies. And as they were going to take the goodies, father said, wait. Don't take them so fast. I have gone out into the backyard
And there I took some dog stuff. And I place it in the brownies. And so the son say, what is wrong with you, daddy? Are you crazy? Do you want to poison us? And the father said, but just a little dark stuff would not hurt. It would not kill you. And so the son decided that no matter what their father is going to say, I'm not going to eat. We are not going to eat the brownies. And the father went on to tell them that he was only joking. He just wanted to get the point across. He had not really put the dark stuff in the brownies. But for some reason, the sons could not be convinced and they decided, hey, we won't take part of those brownies. And so friends, whether we believe it or not, a lot of times, even the little things that we are doing in our lives that goes contrary to the will of God, is going to hurt us. And sometimes we think that it's so little that it would not do any harm. But it was Ellen White who admonished us that we are to guard the avenues of our souls. We are to be careful of what we look at and what we allow to enter our mind. Because you see, sometimes things that you would see or things that you would hear would last and register for a lifetime. And it can be detrimental to us. Now here is a definition of temptation. It says the act of enticement to be wronged by the promise of pleasure or gain. And that is exactly what the devil does with us. He entices us to sin by offering something very deadly to us, but it looks good. And so our goal is to come up with some practical ways that will help us to overcome temptation this evening. First, understand that we are in a war and not against flesh and blood, but we are against spiritual forces in this world. And it is necessary to understand this evening that our enemy has his tactics and his plans to destroy us. And we must be aware as Christians. Therefore, we must understand temptation if we are ever going to defeat the enemy. And so in the book of James, we find three facts about temptation. Firstly, temptation is inevitable. It is going to happen. It doesn't matter how nice you think you are, how holy you think you are. Temptation will come. And no matter what you think or what you want, we are all going to be faced at some point in our life with temptation. And so in James 1:13, James writes, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. He didn't say if we are tempted. He said when we are tempted. For just as surely as sparks fly upward, we are going to find temptation in our lives. And as long as we live in this flesh and in the world, we will face temptation. So everybody faces temptation. And it is not by accident this evening that James is admonishing us on the topic of temptation. Joni Terry is a writer and a speaker. And she's also paralyzed from her neck down because of an injury that she sustained in a diving accident. She's confined permanently in a wheelchair. And after her accident, she says, I was in my late 20s, a single, and unfortunately had every prospect of remaining that way. But sometimes loss or a bit of fantasizing would seem to invite, so inviting to us and so easy to justify that after all, hadn't I already given up more than most Christian just by being disabled, she said. Didn't my wheelchair entitle me to do a little slack now and again? When we are going through trial or when we are suffering, brethren, we often use that as an excuse for giving into temptation. Sometimes we use the hard time we are going through to justify a day off from standing our guard. The trouble with giving into temptation is that it would always lead us to sin. The first fact about temptation is it is going to confront us. Then the second fact about temptation is that God is never the one who is tempting us. Remember in James 1:13, it says, God does not tempt anyone.
How often do we see kids getting caught for doing something wrong? And immediately they start blaming someone else. Actually, adults also do it. The first thing we do when caught doing something wrong is put the blame for doing it on something on someone else. And so it's the old Flip Wilson attitude that the devil made me do it. I think one of the biggest mistakes or the biggest thing that is wrong with our society is our inability to stand up and take responsibility for our actions. In Isaiah 6, we read where the angels surrounded the throne of God and they sang, "Holy, holy, holy." Holy means totally separated from sin, apart from sin. And that is the place where God needs each one of us to be this evening. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be different from the world. And the third fact about temptation, it is always aimed at individuals and not groups. You see, the devil knows what Brother Liebert's weakness is. He knows what Pastor Benjamin's weakness is. He knows what each one of us were given to and what really pleases our heart. And so the devil would come with that particular temptation. You see, there are some things the devil would not try to tempt me with. You see, he knows that, okay, Pastor Benjamin have really took charge of that aspect of his life. Brother Lawrence have really reached a point where he's overcoming a particular area of his life. And so Satan would not come at that. He would look at you and he would see what is appealing to you. Those things that he knows is your weakness. And he will try to get you at that point. And so repeating what I heard Bill Howard said in his sermon some time ago, he said, there is too much world in the church. As we live our lives, there are only two parts we might walk. One part is in the world, and the other is in God. One is oil, and the other is water. But friends, we cannot mix water and oil together. First John 2:15 to 16 states, do not love the world or anything in the world. Excuse me. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world are the cravings of a sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. And it says that it does not come from the Father. So we would be more comfortable if James said temptation comes from the devil. But he did not say that this evening. He says it comes from our own evil desires. He places the entire responsibility for temptation on our shoulders. So we can see now that when we yield to temptation, it is an individual matter. We are like fish when it comes to temptation. You see, we are safe and in our own waters when all of a sudden something comes dangling in our eye, before our eyes. It looks so good and it just won't go away. So we finally give in to that temptation. You see, when the fish grabs the bait, or when he sees the bait in front of him, the fish can decide whether to stay in his cozy corner or in his hole, or he can come out and take a bite. But we all know when he takes that bite, where the fish would end up. It would end up being one of our meal. You see, what would be some practical ways we might be able to handle temptation? We are to counteract it, but never to tolerate temptation. You see, every time you see a temptation, you have to decide not to give in to it. So Romans 6, verse 13 tells us, do not offer the parts of our body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death unto life.
He said, offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. You are not to try to peacefully coexist with temptation. Don't say, okay, temptation is there, but I'm just going to stick around and don't go too far. Friends, when there is temptation, you ought to do something about it. See, there are some people. For instance, one might have a problem with drinking. And yet they would take upon themselves to be in a bar, sitting down and talking. And they would say that, I am just liming with the boys. I'm not going to drink. But friends, if you know you have a weakness, if you know your weakness is drinking, why would you want to be in a bar? We all have a tendency to play with temptation at times. It is like the man who brought in 2 dozen donuts to work one morning. You see, one of his co-workers asked him, why did he this since he was on a diet? Why did he bring all these donuts to work? And he says that he's on a diet. And he said, God so much has told him to. He said on the way to work, he passed the donut shop. And he told God that if he was supposed to get some of those donuts, allow a parking space to be there in front of the donut shop. And the man went around the building. He drove around the block 12 times before he could get a space. And then he said it was God. It was God who gave him that space so he could get the donuts. You see, if we play around with temptation, we will always end up taking the bait. And that will always cause us to choose sin. As the words say, after temptation have been conceived, then comes sin. And after sin, it would lead to death. And why it would lead to death? Because the wages of sin is death. So for a moment, let me refer back to the 2 teens who wanted to go to the R-rated movies. You see, by going to see the movies, that offer just a little bit of unwholesomeness. We are tolerating sin in our lives too much. And if we do anything else in life that enables a little bit of sin to be around us, we are tolerating too much. So the more we tolerate this evening, the more temptation we tolerate, the more we would yield to it. And the more we yield, the more we would sin. So often we look at our lives and sometimes we end up doing things that sometimes we have no idea. How in the world could we really commit such sin? And we look at ourselves and we say, how did this thing happen? But for some reason, for some point in our lives, this thing might have been really there dangling in front of us. And we did nothing about it. We entertained it over time. And we say, well, a little of this and a little of that cannot hurt. And then it leads us into sin. So sometimes you hear people say, I can't believe I did that. You cannot play around with the carnality in you without becoming wholly carnal. If you play around with and tolerate lies, you will end up forfeiting your right to tell the truth. And you cannot play with cruelty without losing your sensitivity to your life or to your fellow man. You see, one of the snares that catch most Christians is in the area of anger. Somebody does something that we perceive as wrong and we blow our tops. And we say, this isn't godly. It is hatred in its purest form. But we all have a tendency to do it at times. Where does anger come from? We don't like hearing this, but all anger comes from our own, my friends, not getting what we want, or when things don't go our way, then we become angry. Now, there are times when righteous indignation is fully justified. For remember how Jesus even cleared the evil merchants from the temple. And Jonathan was upset with his father Saul because of the bad way he was treating David. But when do you feel righteous anger? We must be sure that we do not sin in our anger. So Ephesians 4:31 says, lays it out plainly for us and say, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You see, when somebody does something that we get upset at, we must instantly ask yourself these questions. Why did the person do that to me? Is there a biblical reason why they did it? If we ask the person why they did something, we might end up saving everyone a lot of time and ill feeling. You see, there is always a reason why someone would do something. Secondly, if the person violated no biblical tenets, we might think twice before we decide to get mad at them. If we get mad at them, in this case, then we are playing around with temptation to hate and to be angry. For as sure as they did something to offend you, you can be sure that you have done something to offend someone else. And if your anger is justifiable, do not approach the person in anger or hatred, but do it in love. Tell them what they did and how they affected you. Tell them what biblical truth they violated and that you do not want to have broken a relationship. So they must never do it to you again. Then you forgive them as Christ would also forgive you. If you let anger rest in your heart, friends, several things would happen. First of all, the anger would grow. Secondly, you began talking badly about that person to others. Then third, you start becoming bitter. And finally, you would begin to grieve the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 4:30 gives us a warning. And it said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In all of these cases, let us remember that Paul said in Romans 6:13, present yourself to God as though, instead of being dead, your body is alive. He said, let not present our bodies in sin, leaving the door open. Allowing sin its opportunity. Because, friends, if we do, I promise you that you will always lose the battle. Every time we play with temptation and think that we are bigger than it, we always find ourselves in problem. Make sure the resistance fits the temptation. If a person is tempted by sensual pleasures, they need to run from the temptation like Joseph did with Potiphar's wife. If we are tempted to gossip about others or spread negative comments about each other, the answer is to stop talking about them. For psychologists say that the only reason we tell others something bad about someone else is so that we can justify our negative actions or feelings to ourselves. That way it makes us feel righteous. And so in blaming someone, you leave yourself undone. You don't have to look at yourself. And so you continue to blame others and to look at others' sins. And so you justify what you are doing. Now remember how temptation looks. Remember that all temptation looks good and pleasurable. But that pleasure, we know, if we live long enough, is short-lived. It is temporary. It doesn't last forever. And what lasts for eternity is the price that we'll pay for those few moments of pleasure. So when we do wrong, we pay the full price of doing evil. This is what you need to ask yourself. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to mingle with temptation? To go around something that you know you have a weakness for? For something that you know the enemy has been battling you with all along? Would it be wise to still tamper with that temptation? And then it says, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is finished, it will bring forth death. In Isaiah 59:2, it tells us, it is your evil that separates you from God. Your sins cause him to turn away from you, so he does not hear when you pray.
Simply put this evening, God is so holy that he cannot look upon sin. So when we decide to sin, my brothers and sisters, when we decide to dangle in sin, Jesus must turn his back on us. That is not a very pleasant thought for a Christian this evening. For here is short commentary on temptation. It says, once desire is kindled, it burns like a raging fire, seizes the flesh. It makes no difference what kind of temptation it is. When temptation has taken hold, all joy in God is gone, and we begin to seek nothing but our own pleasure. By doing this, Satan does not fill us with hate for God, but he do it with total forgetfulness of who God is. You see, we must at times remember the pleasure of sin doesn't last forever. The pain of sin is deadly. Adam and Eve desired the fruit because of what it could do for them, and because it looked like it tasted real good. But ask Adam and Eve if it was really worth it when they did that. Seek out Adam and Eve and ask them if it's worth it. Ask yourself this evening, does it worth it when we go bluntly against the word of God and decide to sin? Allow temptation to take root in our hearts, and then it produces sin. Just look around and look at ourselves and see what sin has done to us. We see all the evil in the world today, and sometimes we wonder whether or not God is looking at what is happening. We wonder whether or not God is really coming to take charge of this world. But friends, this evening, it is because of that decision, that choice that Adam and Eve made. And this evening, each one of us still have that decision, that major decision in our life, to decide whether we're going to yield to sin or we're going to yield to the Holy Spirit. If you struggle with a particular sin, we are to find a verse that deals with it. Memorize it and use it to quench the flames of temptation. Once we do all of this, there is one more thing that we need to do, and that is to claim the promise of God to help us to defeat temptation. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 gives us that promise. It said, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And so whatever we are facing in our lives this evening, somehow our forefathers and those who have gone before us have faced these challenges. We are not the first, and there are many who have overcome because of the blood of Jesus. This evening, that same blood is available to all of us. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that we, my friends, can escape. God gives us the chance to escape the temptation, but we must be willing to take, my friends, that way. The first 9 trips around the donut shop were ways out that the man chose not to take them. After going around so many times around that donut shop, he could have decided to go on his way, but he knew that he wanted to give in to this temptation, and so he allowed it to just pull his eyes and his desires. And finally, he got a space. And he gave God the credit for giving him that space. A lot of times we do that in our lives also. Sometimes, especially in getting a life partner. Sometimes we would say we see someone that we have interest in, and for some reason, we keep going after them. We're going after them. And somehow we see some faults or some signs that God is giving us that we ought not to go that way. But because we, our desire, and we want to have that individual, maybe because of their looks and is very appealing to them, they still go on their way and they decide to be with that individual. Then years down the line or months after, a lot of times it is detrimental to those parties You see, several years ago, a nice new red brick building was built in a small town in Pennsylvania. It housed the city hall, police, and fire departments. It was a beautiful building, and it had all the latest upgrades. Within months, the floor started to buckle. Windows wouldn't open. Cracks appeared everywhere in that building. Within 1 year, the building went from state of the art to condemned. They found out later that it had been because it was built over a tunnel, a mining tunnel. And the years of mining beneath the building had weakened the earth foundation. This building suffered permanent damage because of that. You see, if you fool around, friends, with any kind of temptation, if you tell yourself, I am strong enough, so I can always put myself in a position where it is very dangerous, I will be able to overcome. I promise you that it would lead you to sin. See, it is a bait, and see yourself as the fish that I spoke about earlier. If you choose to play with the temptation, if you choose to go after that bait, if you grab that hook, I give you another promise this evening. You will receive permanent damage in your life. So God has promised us this evening to give us a way out of all temptation. And the most impacting way he gives us is by giving his son, Jesus Christ. Friends, everything we need this evening can be found in Jesus Christ. And so God, in his wisdom, and in his love and his grace and mercy, given his only son so that each one of us this evening can be victorious. Yes, we are sinful. Yes, we were born with our sinful ways, and at times in our lives we would disappoint God and disappoint even ourselves when we recognize the things that we have caught ourselves doing. But God is saying this evening that you can overcome every sin. You can overcome every temptation in your life this evening. But all you have to do is to depend upon him totally. You have to give him your full trust and confidence. And in so doing, God would make a way for us, and we would be overcomers. Have you been playing with sin lately? Is there any little thing that is in your life that you know that you shouldn't be doing? Have you let it creep into your heart and start turning your heart away from God, turning it cold and numb to the desires of God? If this describes us this evening, the Lord is saying, you need to give your total life. You need to give your all to me this evening. If this is your desire, friends, this evening, to give your life totally to God and you, so that every temptation, every trial that comes our way, we'll be able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If this is your desire this evening, I'm going to ask you to stand. You know, as I think about this, the sin problem this evening, and look at how a sin has been plaguing us, this human race. I remember a great experience, an experience that really made me cry and really thought about this life that Christ has given to us. A life that is so fragile, a life that can be taken and be snapped away from us this very moment. I saw one of my best friends left this world. And as I look at him in the hospital, lying on the bed, a matter of fact, at that point, he had a call for all of his friends that he had, where that he went to school with and so on. And when I got the message, I went quickly to the hospital, and as I saw him lying there, in agony, in pain, and just crying out as he await the final moments of his life, I look at him and I had to really contemplate and look at the life that we are living, the life that God had lent us just for a moment. And I really thought that God, such love, has really given us a life that we can live eternally. But because of sin, sin have entered and it had really been detrimental to the human race. And we have seen our families, our friends, just being snatched by the hands of the enemy over the years. And God is calling us this evening to really look into ourselves, look at our lives, and see where we can really commit and get rid of all those things that are lingering in our hearts and our minds. And so this evening, very meditatively, I want you to just close your eyes. Think about your life for a moment. Think about the seriousness of sin and how it damages our life this evening. And just cry out to God this evening so that he can really take care of us and give us the power to overcome all temptation and trials in our lives. Think about it for a moment, and then we will pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, this evening, Lord, we are thankful for your mercy and your grace towards us. We are thankful this evening, O God, for even in our times of weakness, in our times when we feel feeble, in times, Lord, when we feel that there is no way out of this sinful environment, you are reaching out to us and you are saying this evening that for all our trials, for all our temptations, that you will make a way for us. So this evening we are grateful, O God, that even though we cannot help ourselves, that we can depend totally upon you this evening. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the great sacrifice that you have made on the cross of Calvary. Because, Lord, it is because of that sacrifice that you have made, this evening we can have the remission of sins. We can be justified because of what he has done for us. And so we are grateful and we ask this evening, Lord, that you would wash us anew again. May your Holy Spirit take full charge of our minds and our hearts. And, O God, we pray that even as we continue to live day after day, that we live as though it is our last. Live as though, Father, you can come at any moment, and that when you shall appear, may we all be found faithful and be ready to go and live with you forevermore. Bless each individual here. Bless our families. We pray that you'll take us home safely this evening, we pray. Give us a wonderful week, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.